Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
We all want to break out of that cycle of barely getting by, and I'm Scott Harold on SOS Radio, and we're talking with Noel Casimiro and Mike Garcia from Kingdom Wealth Strategies. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good, Scott.
So when we dig into the Bible, you two are both entrepreneurs, so you know all about the parable of the talents. It's like the master gave one of his servants five talents. He gave another one two talents and another one talent. And that was based on the resources and the way they performed in the past.
Right.
When he gives the one with five talents, he doubles that. And he says, well done. The servant who had two talents doubled that into four.
Right.
And then the servant who had one just buried it in the ground because he was scared. And the master said, you wicked, lazy servant.
Yes, oh. That right there, Scott, I always wondered why he would say the one that hid it under, he hoarded it and didn't do nothing with the talent. He was considered to be wicked. The other thing that was always sparking to me was he gave to them according to their own abilities. One was able to steward five and one was able to steward two. But I think God already knew, he knew in their heart what was their capacity to steward, you know, and sometimes we don't think about that part. And so God's foreknowledge had a lot to do with who would receive five, who would receive two, and the one that received one, he was considered wicked because he hoarded it.
Noel, you and Mike are both entrepreneurs, and what do you learn about what stewardship actually is?
We consider ourselves kingdom entrepreneurs, so everything that we do as far as our businesses is for advancing the kingdom of God and not for maximizing self-worth. And that basically, that's what Kingdom Wealth Strategy is all about, is to teach business men and women in the marketplace to partner with God with your business. Because when you do that, you're going to see the blessings over your business. Stewardship is understanding that, first of all, it's not your money, it's God's money. And that money is not the provider, God is the provider.
Not only that, but stewardship and ownership, it all depends. That's a condition of the heart. If you're looking at, let's say, your business or your finances, did you obtain them because of you, or did God help you and favor you to obtain? Even the smallest amounts. I don't think God looks at amounts as much as he looks at the condition of our hearts when it comes to stewardship and ownership.
There's a difference between a poverty mindset and a prosperity mindset, and honestly, both of them are flawed. I'm Scott Harold on SWS Radio, and we're talking to Noel Casimiro and Mike Garcia from Kingdom Wealth Strategies. And when you think about the poverty mindset, that actually came from teachings of St. Francis of Assisi, who felt like if you have wealth, it's going to get in way of your relationship with God because you're going to crave money. And he put a little more of the stock of money has too much power over you. And then the prosperity mindset is God wants to bless you, and he's going to bless you if you're following him. And that's not necessarily automatic because that doesn't align with the parable of the talents or with the law of first fruits and tithing.
Right. You know, it goes right back to stewardship again. I believe that there's a thin line between stewarding finances or stewarding the things that God is doing in your life, even the stewarding of our gifts that he gives us, versus getting it, what I call getting it twisted. And when you're talking about that poverty mindset, that's just what it is. It's a mindset. For example, tithing. Well, if I tithe, am I going to have enough left over to pay my bills? That's the poverty mindset. Or should I tithe before taxes? Poverty mindset. The only way that we will ever overcome that specific mindset that is very powerful is to mismanage it. And the only way to mismanage that spirit of poverty or that poverty mindset is to do the opposite, partner with God. Like Abraham partnered with Melchizedek. He was already rich when he gave him a tenth of everything that he owned. That has a lot to do with it right there. And that was before the Levitical law, if you look at that specific partnership.
The whole idea of stewardship is I'm managing God's resources because he owns it. I don't own it. I will never own it. And anytime I start to think that I own my money, it proves real quick what? It owns you, right, Noel?
One of the things, Scott, that Kingdom Wealth Strategies is really focusing on is, I can't stand this term, that prosperity gospel that's out there. The truth is, if you look at the scriptures from beginning to end, we're talking about kingdom prosperity. You could be the richest man in the world, but not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that makes you very poor. You know, you can be very poor, but have a great relationship with the Holy Spirit or with the Lord, and you're like sitting on top of the world because of your relationship. But no matter how you look at it, it all comes down to the condition of our hearts when it comes to managing the very things that God has entrusted us with.
One of the things we talk about at Kingdom Wealth Strategy is being in alignment with God. So you talked about this earlier, Scott, like people that's had this big audacious prayer, bless my business, bless my family, but they don't hear these answers. There's more to it than that. That's because they may not be in alignment with God's will for their lives. And that's one of the things that we teach, is being in alignment. And let me just go over some of the topics that we teach. And again, this is not prosperity teaching for maximizing self-worth, but for creating wealth to advance God's kingdom, to give back, to fight homelessness, human trafficking, hunger, to make a difference in our community and our world by giving back. And that's what we're teaching, to create wealth for that purpose. So some of the topics we teach is the first one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be given unto you. Second one is biblical laws of reaping and sowing, tithes, offerings, and then first fruits. A lot of people have no idea what first fruits are. They think that it's the same thing as tithes, but first fruits is another level of giving. And that's what we teach as well. There's a bunch of other topics that we teach to get in alignment that you can receive God's full blessings, because a lot of people, whether they're business owners or not, they're not seeing any of the blessings. They're seeing partial blessings, but not seeing full blessings, where God wants to overflow our cup. He wants to give us what we want, what our hearts desire, as long as it's in alignment with God's will. But he wants to give you more than that. He wants to overflow that so you can go out there and give back to advance the kingdom of God.
So you're hosting a free workshop coming up on Saturday, the 28th. It's 3 hours. It runs from 10 in the morning till about 1 p.m. It's really about figuring out where this alignment is, or we can really pursue God's kingdom as we're seeking the kingdom of God first. And then, yeah, these things are added unto you as well, but it's not about adding things and finding the kingdom. It's about seeking God's kingdom.
Here's a staggering statistic for you. When it comes to going to church, only 3% of the church goers will ever be in the level of ministry, pastor, youth leader, you know, only 3%. That leaves 97% of the people that actively go to church without any ministry. And I'm telling you right now that the person who partners with God, with their business, to advance God's kingdom purposes is equivalent to any other ministry behind the pulpit, because their finances are being used to send people to other nations to advance the projects, feeding the hungry, feeding the homeless, feeding people in our own communities. See, that's a kingdom mandate. We're really talking about kingdom stuff. We're really talking about putting God first with your business to advance his kingdom purposes.
One thing I want to mention is we teach, you know, as far as businessmen and women in the marketplace, on how to partner with God with your business. I'm born and raised here in Las Vegas. I've been here 49 years of my life, and I've been in business without God, and I've been in business with God. And let me tell you something, the difference, it says here in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. When I wasn't in partnership with God, I was working long hours, working hard, stressed out. Things weren't always flowing and going smooth in my business. But when I put God first, I tied 10%. We started putting God first in everything, every business decision that we made. We always included God in there first. When that happened, the money started flowing in the business, and it was without sorrow. I wasn't working long, crazy hours. I wasn't working weekends. I wasn't stressed out like I used to be. And that's one of the benefits that you get when you partner with God.
I also think that one of our main focuses is really focusing, Scott, on as your soul prospers, so will you, and so will your business.
Indeed.
You know, that is something that cannot be overlooked. You know, what you do in your private life will definitely have a correlation on your business life.
Let's talk about using our money as seed. Let's talk about generosity for a minute. I'm Scott on SOS Radio, and we're talking to Noel Casimiro and Mike Garcia from Kingdom Wealth Strategies, and you're both entrepreneurs. You've been involved in church. You've done business with God. You've done business without God over the years, and now you're to this place where you look at money as seed. It's an opportunity to use that tool as growing that in the kingdom.
I think one of the biggest revelations that God has shown me about money or seed, we're supposed to be farmers. And so he actually gives us the seed to sow to be farmers. That's where stewardship comes in. It's funny how he compares human beings to trees, oaks of righteousness. And even Jesus said, you're going to know who are my followers, not just believers, followers, by the fruit that they produce. So we're supposed to be producing fruit with our lives. He actually says, I will give you the seed. And once I learned that, oh my God, he's going to give me the seed, like God dropped something in my spirit. I need you to give an offering here or give a seed here. And then I say, okay, Lord, well, how much do you want me to plant in this area? And he gives me the number. Sometimes I don't have the number, but he's challenging me. He says, well, I'm the provider of the seed. And to this day, after doing that, he has yet, I guess he's just looking at my heart to see, am I your provider? Or is your bank account your provider? Who's your provider? And if we really get the revelation that Jesus is the provider of the seed, he's just doing that to try to challenge us to be just like him, generous. It is better to give than to receive.
It's really interesting, too, because if you have a tree and that tree produces seed, what do you do with that? You can either eat the seed and then it's gone. Or you could take that seed and plant it all over here and not have anything for you today. Or you use a part of that, you eat that seed. Then the other part of it, you plant that seed and you let that grow and cultivate while you're working the soil of the things that God stewarded you right now. But knowing that you've invested a little bit for the future and you're given that time to grow and germinate.
You know what? Here's another great revelation. When you partner with God with being a farmer, sowing seed, the apple is a great experience because the apple has multiple seeds on the inside. I know that the seeds that I'm planting right now in society has a generational effect, same generational effect that it had with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Okay, my children are going to benefit off the seeds that I'm planting now. I want them to benefit. I want them to be successful in business. And my grandchildren and my grandchildren after them. See, God is generational. And that's the message he was always trying to get Abraham to believe in. Like, look up to the sky. If you can number the stars, you can number your seed. If you can number the sand, you can number your seed. That's not just talking about humans. That's talking about everything about your life, which all comes down to, do we believe, are we stewarding it, and the condition of our heart when we're doing it.
We're talking with Noel Casimiro and Mike Garcia from Kingdom Wealth Strategies. And they're hosting a free workshop coming up on Saturday, the 28th. It's going to be at the Noble Title Building in Las Vegas. If you want to get some more information, kingdomwealthstrategies.com has all of that. So what does it take to own the idea of stewardship? That God owns everything and he's just asked me to manage it. I'm Scott on SWS Radio. And we're talking with Mike Garcia and Noel Casimiro from Kingdom Wealth Strategies. But Mike, what does it take to actually own that idea from my head that, yeah, I know God owns it and I know he's my provider, but actually really taking that into my heart where I know that money is not something I own or something I'm ever going to own. It's God stewarding resources to me and I'm managing it to him.
I think that type of level of revelation can only come through your intimate relationship with the Lord. The more that relationship exists with you, the more you get intrigued because you'll start to crave, oh Lord, I'm feeling it now. You'll start to crave his presence more than you crave anything else. Because 1 minute in God's presence can make you feel so satisfied that it can compare to having billions in your bank account. Because that's how powerful the presence of God is in your life. That coupled with the Word of God. The Word of God is our plumb line. It's like you can't stray away from the Word of God because the Word of God is like our mirror when you're getting it twisted. It's like everything has to be in alignment with the Word of God, coupled with the relationship, intimate, personal time with the Lord, where he has such a unique way to minister to individuals individually. And that's in your private time where you realize, man, how do I steward the presence of God in my life? How am I in society or like in business? How am I with the people that I do business with?
We want to make sure that everyone understands. I want to emphasize this. The workshop is all about teaching businessmen and women how to partner with God, with your business, to create wealth, to advance the kingdom of God by giving back to help homelessness, hunger, fighting human trafficking, to help reform our nation. It's not about teaching people to create wealth for maximizing self-interest. Okay, we don't teach that. This is not the intentions of this whole workshop. Just want to get that straight.
There's a scripture, John 10:10, and I call it the John 10:10 lifestyle, the abundant lifestyle. I think that that lifestyle has everything to do with partnering with God. Here's a staggering statistic. Look it up on Google. In our country right now, only 4% actually partner with God through tithes. 4%. That means 96% are not tithing, okay? Now, I'm just saying that because they said if we only can get to a level of 50% in our country, do you know that nobody would go hungry? Nobody in our country will go hungry if we were at least at 50% of partnering with the Lord. And I say partnering because that's what it's supposed to be. It's like, I don't give out of obligation. I don't give because, well, if I don't, I'm going to be cursed. That is not true. That is not true. And I speak against that. We're supposed to partner with him because God is my CEO of my company. The Holy Spirit directs me. I want to partner with him out of honor, out of love and admiration, just like Abraham partnered with Melchizedek. He said, man, I have to honor him. You know, I have to honor him. And he did. That transcended into his children and his children. And his great-grandson, Joseph, interpreted one dream and we went from the pit to the palace in one day. I know that Isaac sowed 100-fold in a time of famine because I know he learned how to partner with God. I know Jacob reaped the benefits of partnering with God. He became very wealthy. Goat herder. They were all very wealthy men of God. But I know that the foundation had everything to do with their partnership with their businesses. They were very, very good businessmen, but they partnered with Melchizedek, who to us represents Jesus Christ, you know, and we believe in partnering with our church, partnering with our leaders in our church in financing the kingdom of God to help our community, our city, our state, and our country, and other nations as well.
You know, Scott, I mentioned earlier that partnering with God and giving 10%. Like I said, I've been here and born and raised here in Las Vegas 49 years, and I've been in business for a very long time, and I've done business with partnering with God and without partnering with God. And I used to work very hard, long hours, working weekends. But when I started tithing 10%, I started seeing the flow coming in. I wasn't working long hours. I wasn't working weekends. In fact, I had so much financial freedom that I was able to work less hours and make more money. I truly believe that came from partnering with God and tithing 10% of what we made in our business. Resisted probably about 3 months until my wife said, you know, we need to start tithing 10%. And that was when I was in the mortgage industry and the real estate industry, and it was like the mortgage meltdown. And we, like 80% of my income, like completely got wiped out. My wife goes, we're not going to make it. We're barely making it every month. We need to start tithing 10%. I go, what are you talking about? I lost 80% of my income. You're not working because you're pregnant with our son, and you're telling us anything else that we got coming in, whatever's left, we got to tie 10% of that. I go, that does not make sense. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be completely transparent. I got angry. I'm like, that does not make any sense. But God's timing, God knows what I need to hear. I heard a sermon from Pastor Shane over at the Crossing, where a church I go to, and Pastor Shane talked about, it's the only time in the Bible where God says, test me, see what happens. I looked that up. I'm like, all right. 3 months later, we're more broke. I told my wife, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this leap of faith, and we're going to tie 10% of whatever we got going from the business that we had. And lo and behold, it wasn't overnight, but gradually, we rose from the ashes a lot faster than a lot of other people that I knew that was in the same industry in real estate. We got back on our feet a lot quicker, and I know it's from tithing 10%.
And then what's interesting is you see that fruit that comes out of generosity, you realize it's far beyond 10%. Now, I want to grow into other things, and I want to support organizations that are fighting homelessness and solving problems. I want to help build into organizations that are helping with mental health issues. I want to help fight human trafficking, and I want to give even more to those things because those organizations, they stretch that dollar farther than I could ever do by just handing somebody a $1,000 bill.
Exactly. Because of partnering with God, I'm able to be on 3 advisory boards for 3 nonprofits to help advance the kingdom of God. Project 150, the Uplift Foundation, and we just started a new one, Kids Uplifting Kids, and it's to help support orphans here in Clark County. I wouldn't be able to do that if I wasn't partnering with God, because I know that I'd be too busy, caught up in the work. But because I tied the 10%, I work less hours and I'm able to give back and volunteer and do those things.
One of the most awesome things of discovery when it comes to using the resources that God has gifted you with is that it is an act of worship. And you can see that in the Bible in the New Testament when the angel came to Cornelius and said that your alms and your gifts have rose up into the throne room of God. And in other words, your giving, your alms and your gifts actually go into the throne room of God, and God smells them and says, oh, that's a sweet smelling smell. And that opened the door for Cornelius to be the first non-Jewish convert to accept Jesus Christ and to be baptized, okay? I guarantee you he still has a bloodline here of salvation, but it was because of his partnering with God in supporting causes in that day. It's right there in the New Testament that giving has something. It is something that can ascend into the throne room of God.
Maybe you've read that verse in the Bible where Jesus says, you can't serve both God and money. Well, actually, he says, you can't serve both God and mammon if you're reading the actual translation. Yeah. I'm Scott on SOS Radio, and mammon was actually a term that was attributed to the Chaldean god of riches. There was also a Greek god, Plutus, which was similar to that, and a Syriac god for idol worship in regard to wishes. But mammon was that. And we use mammon interchangeably as money, but it's like the spirit behind money. Yes. And you think about evil forces that are pulling our mind away, we think of greed, and it's all tied together. And the way that we get over having a love of money or a stronghold of money in our life is by giving it away. That's what generous people believe, right?
You know what? I use that principle, Scott, so much that if I feel that there's an issue or something's trying to stop me when there's a need to be met, and something tries to say, don't do it or whatever, I have to resist that and say, no, now I'm gonna do it. And it's like, that's how you do it though. You have to mismanage, because I know the conversation that's trying to attack me is that spirit of poverty. It's like, well, don't do it because you won't have enough, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, now I'm really gonna do it. And I'm trying to condition myself that every time that there's a need and I know that I can meet the need, I just do it automatically. Because if you have an issue with giving, the only way that you'll ever break out of that is by doing the opposite of not giving, and that's giving. But there are some conditions. God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah. He loves a cheerful giver, and I'm not doing it to get something in return. Mm. I'm doing it because he actually gave me what to give. You know, he tested Abraham the same way. In the very end, Abraham had to surrender the very promise that God gifted him with, and that was Isaac.
So, Mike, have you ever felt like God's told you not to give when there was an opportunity presented to you?
That is such a great question. I can't think of one time.
Mike, don't do it. Don't be generous today. Right?
I don't think I've ever heard that, but, you know, I read a book and it said that the spirit of poverty is more powerful than fasting and praying. And it shocked me, but the more I dabbled into it and I said, I was thinking about Abraham. Abraham actually was already very rich when he gave Melchizedek 10% of everything that he owned. Like right off the bat. And that partnership, if you read it right after that, he got elevated by God and says, oh, okay, now I'm really going to do this for you. I'm going to make you descendants of many nations. And it's like his promise got increased or got added to. Okay. But I have yet to hear something like that, because you're talking about a God who comes from a place where the streets are made of gold. I think in the stop signs may be made of diamonds. I don't know. But, you know, he owns everything. So he's only trying to break us out of that mindset so we can be used, stewardly used by God to advance his kingdom. Because no matter at the end of the day, at the end of a decade, at the end of 1,000 years, it's all about advancing his kingdom purposes on this face of the earth. And in the end, he's going to ask us, did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe me when I was naked? Did you visit me when I was in prison? Did you visit me when I was in the hospital? I'm sorry, but I think that when it comes to that time, that we're going to be judged according to how we stewarded the things that God gave us.
So good.
Yeah, a lot of the issues with the Christian community is that everyone, they're always concerned and they're striving to get from here on earth to heaven, to kingdom. Right? But they're not concerned about bringing kingdom of heaven down here on earth. Wow. Everyone has a calling in their lives, and everyone will be judged by their obedience or their disobedience to whatever their calling is from the Lord. And that's one of the things that we teach as well.
The kingdom living is all about generosity. It is. It truly is. You know why? Because Jesus, that kingdom, when it says the kingdom of God is within you, the price tag that was paid for that kingdom to indwell in us was paid in blood and it was paid in full. And that, his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He paid the price, the ultimate price, and he laid his life down on a cross and he resurrected in 3 days so we could live this life to continue the work that he said, you guys will do greater things than what I did. And he knew what he was saying because I'm about to make sure you do, because I'm going to sacrifice my life for you guys, man. Yeah. I'm going to start crying right now, Scott.
And he gives us the Holy Spirit, and wow, it's on. Oh, we're talking to Noel Casimiro and Mike Garcia from Kingdom Wealth Strategies, and they're doing a free workshop coming up on Saturday, the 28th. Starts at 10 a.m., runs till about 1 p.m. It's going to be at the Noble Title Building in Las Vegas. If you want to get some more information, you can go to KingdomWealthStrategies.com. Thanks for coming in today, guys.
Thank you, Scott, for having us.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.